It is Colossians 3, chapter 3, verses 1 to 17, page 198. So, if you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever in you is earthly: fornication, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming on those who are disobedient. These are the ways you also once followed when you were living that life. But now you must get rid of all such things: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive language from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have stripped off the old self with its practices and have clothed yourselves with the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge according to the image of its creator. In that renewal, there is no longer Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Syrian, slave and free, but Christ is all and in all. As God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other, just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in the one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom. And with gratitude in your hearts, sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Shirley, thank you very much indeed. A very good evening to you. Happy Easter. Shall we pray together? We've just read that we are to give thanks in everything, whatever we do, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we give you thanks this day, Lord Jesus, for your resurrection, and pray now that you would give us the help of your Holy Spirit to know more of what your resurrection means for us today. And we ask this in your precious name. Amen. What difference does Jesus' resurrection make to us? We could think about this in many different ways. You could think about hope and Christian certainty of life beyond the grave. We could think about the sense that we have a living Lord who is with us through the ups and downs of life. We could think about this in many different ways. What difference Jesus and his resurrection makes to our life today. But the one that I want to pick out this evening was from the first verse. If we got our Bibles, it would be great if you keep them open on page 198. Here is the phrase, raised with Christ. In that first verse, chapter 3, verse 1, page 198. And really this evening, in our time together, I want us to consider what this phrase means. What does it mean that we are raised with Christ? And three things. Firstly, when did it happen? Secondly, what does it mean? And thirdly, what difference does it make to our life? So we're thinking about this whole sense of the fact that we're raised. Not just Jesus. Of course, we celebrate that today. Jesus is risen. But what does it mean that we are raised? When did it happen? What does it mean? And what difference does it make? So the first one is very short. When did it happen? Well, have a look down. You don't have to be a sort of master of the English language to know. Chapter 3, verse 1, when did it happen? So if you have been raised, you see the little ED, past tense? If you have been raised. In other words, it happened in the past. Now we're used to thinking, aren't we? If we think about being resurrected, we think on the last day. When all is finished, we'll be raised, resurrected bodies. The Apostle Paul had the audacity to speak to people who were living, who hadn't yet died, who hadn't yet physically been raised to life, to say, if you have been raised, it's happened. It's actually happened. Have a look at verse 2. Verse 3, rather. Verse 3, for you have died. I mean, it would be the silliest letter to ever write to people, wouldn't it, if they're actually dead, physically, literally. But the Apostle Paul says, not only have they been raised with Christ, but they've died. So the first thing, when did it happen? The Apostle Paul says, you've been raised in the past. We together, the language here is corporate. We, as the body of Christ, have been raised. We died with Christ, we've been raised with Christ. That's when it happened. But perhaps more importantly, and we'll spend more time on this, what does it actually mean that we've been raised with Christ? That we've died with Christ. Well, Paul in this letter, he's already referred to this language of dying and rising. Have a look back with me. It's in chapter 2, so it's the same page. Chapter 2, listen to what Paul says. Chapter 2, verse 12. When you were buried with him in baptism, you were also raised with him through faith in the power of God who raised him from the dead. Verse 13, when you were dead in trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive together with him, when he forgave all our trespasses. When did this happen? It happened in the past. And what does Paul say? What does it mean? Well, he says we've been buried with Christ, verse 12, in baptism. Baptism, in the early church, some people were baptized immediately that they believed. Some people were baptized a little bit later. And some people were baptized and then in time their own faith grew. Think of the households, the children. Perhaps they didn't yet know, but they were baptized and in time they placed their faith. That's what it says, verse 12. You were buried with him in baptism. You were also raised with him through faith in the power of God. So what does it mean? It means that when you and I, if we're a Christian here tonight, when you and I placed our faith in Jesus, you might remember the day. You might actually have the joy of never knowing a day when you didn't trust Jesus. Whether it's a day or your whole life, Paul says, you died. And you've been raised. Think of the picture of baptism. We often are normally in the font, but if we're at the back now and again with confirmation, someone actually goes down and they come back up. That's the picture. Death with Christ and raised with Christ. Now, some of you will know I've got a 3-year-old daughter. The joy of little children is they ask all sorts of questions. The question this morning was, Daddy, can we sing Jingle Bells today? I said, no, Rosanna, no, we're not singing that today. We've got some work to do on our parenting. But Rebecca told me not so long ago, she asked this question. Mummy, did I die on the cross? Now, of course she didn't, literally, physically. But what does the Apostle Paul say? She did. She did die. Do you remember the old spiritual, were you there when they crucified my Lord? Well, the answer is we were. We died. The Apostle Paul, in some of my favourite words in the whole of the Bible, Galatians 2, chapter 2, obviously, Galatians 2, verse 20, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The Apostle Paul says, look, my old life, what does it mean that we've died and been buried? It means our old life has gone. It has been buried and is dead and has been condemned and is finished. You don't get more dead than being buried. One preacher I know sometimes illustrates this by saying, when Jesus died, how many people died with him? What's the answer? One on the right, one on the left, two. You got there. Now, we believe that because that's what the Bible says. But the reality is something even greater. How many people died when Christ died? All his people. You died. And your old life is dead and buried. And this isn't sort of just once here. This is key to the understanding of the Christian life in the whole of the New Testament. So let me give you a few verses just to illustrate this. Ephesians chapter 2. In verse 4 to 6, very similar language that the Apostle Paul uses, Ephesians chapter 2. But God, who is rich in mercy, out of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Most of us struggle with sin. We're going to come on to this. There's lots still to put to death. The old life still rears its ugly head. But we have to realize that the old self really has died. It really has gone. It has been condemned. It is finished. Past, present, and future sin has gone, says the Apostle Paul. I mean, the Apostle Paul in chapter 2 of Colossians and verse 11 uses the language of circumcision. Without being graphic, circumcision is a chopping off. It is a cutting off. The old self, gone. The language of burial, dead. And so what does this mean that we have been raised with Christ, that we have died with Christ? We'll come back to Colossians chapter 3, verse 3. You have died, verse 3, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Hidden. Such is the Christian and the body of Christ corporately, such is our union and connection and bond with Christ. Our life, Paul says, is hidden in his. Wonder how many of us today have hidden Easter eggs and then others have found them. Our life is hidden in Christ. And so being a Christian is not simply, although so wonderfully true, that our sins are forgiven, that we have a new heavenly Father, that we will meet Christ one day and reign with him on this earth in our resurrected bodies forever. They are wonderful things. But being a Christian is being united to Christ. Raised with Christ, buried with Christ, our life is hidden in Christ. That is what it means to be the people of God. And perhaps the person in church history who has most reflected on and written about this sense of being hidden in Christ, this union with Christ, is a man called John Calvin. He was a 16th century Frenchman, pastoring in Geneva. And this is what he said. And listen to the sense of union and the importance of it for us. This is what he said. As long as Christ remains outside of us and we are separated from him, all that he has suffered and done for the salvation of the human race remains useless and of no value for us. Therefore, to share with us what he has received from the Father, he had to become ours and dwell within us. What is he saying? If Jesus' death and resurrection, if it just stays over there and doesn't somehow become part of me, if I'm not joined to Jesus' death and resurrection, all he has done, all he has suffered, his resurrection, there is no benefit for us. There is no use for us. But wonderfully, do you see what the resurrection means? You, I, the people of Christ, have died with him and we've been resurrected with him. We have a new life. A new creation. The old is gone. Here's how one writer has put it. If you are in Christ, if you have died and been risen with him, your life and your story become enfolded by another story. Another's story. Jesus himself. You don't have to discover or craft, create or achieve, invent or reinvent your own identity. Your identity is found not deep within yourself, but outside of yourself. In Christ, the one who has come to you, the one in whose life you are hidden. And so your self-understanding becomes inseparable from who God says you are in Christ. I think for me, in my own Christian journey over the last 20 years or so, I don't think I'd realize this for a long time. I still don't in many respects. But can you see how it's such a better, broader, richer, more beautiful, deeper story of salvation? Our old self has gone, cut off, dead and buried, and we have been raised with Christ to new life, now and forever. And I think for some of us, at least for me, I find this hard to grasp because we're so individualistic. If you were here this morning, Mark was talking about being in Adam or in Christ. We don't tend to think naturally when we were born that we were born in Adam. Now, without going into sort of science and Big Bang and evolution and what we think about the historical Adam, it was G.K. Chesterton who famously quipped, "Certain new theologians dispute original sin, but it's actually the only part of Christian theology which can really be proved." In other words, whatever you think of Adam, whatever you think, whether he existed or not, each and every human being on this planet who has ever lived is living, breathing proof that we are in Adam. Our bias. You know what it's like with children? You don't have to teach them to do wrong. They just do it. You don't have to teach me to do wrong. I just do it. In Adam, naturally, we are bound in him, sin, death, and condemnation. And now in Christ, grace, life and justification. We are bound in Christ. We belong to Christ. We belong to each other. It's a big enough thing to think about the Christian life as we belong together, the family, the body of Christ, but we belong to Christ. So when did it happen? It happened in the past. It actually happened at our conversion, but it happened when Christ died. I've been crucified with Christ. We've died with Christ, we've been raised with Christ. What does it mean? It means the old is entirely gone. The new life has begun. It means our life is hidden with Christ in God. And so what difference does it make? Well, we've talked about hiding, hidden in Christ. Here's the seeking. Chapter 3, verse 1. So if you have been raised with Christ, more literally, since you have been raised with Christ, you have been raised with Christ, therefore seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Verse 2, set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. What difference does this make? Well, Christ is our life. That's what verse 3 says. Our life is hidden in him, and so we're to seek him. We're to pursue him. We're to desire him. We're to follow him. We're to run after him. Remember the Apostle Paul in Philippians, I want to know Christ. We seek Christ. And so if that takes us heavenly, there's a beautiful balance here. We're not to be so heavenly minded, we're of no earthly good. Paul doesn't believe anything like that. We seek Christ, the one who is seated in heaven, the one one day will be revealed, and we with him. We seek him. That's what it means to be raised with Christ. And then we put to death our old life. It's not let go and let God. It's not sort of sinless perfection, everything's fine. We died with Christ, yes, but look what Paul says, verse 5. Put to death, therefore, whatever is earthly in you. Fornication, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed. Verse 8. Now you must get rid of all such things, anger, wrath, malice, slander, abusive language from your mouth. He talks about actions, verse 5. He talks about words, verse 8. There's something honest about this. This is how we live, isn't it? Struggling with our words, struggling with our actions, died with Christ, raised with Christ, but still needing to fight. And so Paul says, put to death, kill sin. Put it to death in the power and presence and strength of the risen Christ. There's a book that I shared with the youth on house party last year by the former Bishop of Kensington, Graham Tomlin. The book is called Why Being Yourself is a Bad Idea. It's a very brilliant book. And in fact, from my perspective, and the writer Tomlin certainly agrees with this, the idea of being yourself is one of the great creeds of our time, isn't it? Just be true to yourself. You do you. The problem with that is a lot of what makes me, a lot of what makes you, you, if I can put it politely, is pretty ugly. Verse 5. Fornication, impurity, passion, evil desires and greed. Verse 8, anger, wrath, malice, slander, abusive language. These come very naturally to us, even when we're dead in Christ and raised. The problem comes, which things should we say no to and which things should we say yes to? What should we put to death and what should we nurture and grow? Culturally, we're just told, oh, let everything grow. Be yourself. Whatever desires you have, just indulge them. That's how you become yourself. The Apostle Paul says no. Have a listen, verse 9. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have stripped off the old self with its practices and have clothed yourself with the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge according to the image of its creator. Where does true flourishing lie? How do we become truly ourselves? Well, when we become like our Maker, made in the image of God, died, raised with Christ, and now to begin to be like him. I don't know for you what it means to put to death what is natural in your earthly nature. I don't know for you what it means to get rid of the things that verse 7 you used to walk in. Others still do. I don't know what that means for you. You know. What does it mean to be raised with Christ? What difference does it make? Well, we put those things to death. We do it in the Spirit's help with the one who is in us. And when we fail, we remember our old self has died, buried, dead, condemned. It's over. It's all sorted. We're raised with Christ. And we ask Christ for his help. Our union with Christ never, ever goes. But when we're giving in to sin and going our own way, then that communion, that walking with the Lord, well, that gets affected. So we say sorry to him. Finally, if we seek Christ, if we kill what belongs to the earthly nature, finally we put on new clothes. Verse 12. As God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other, just as the Lord has forgiven you. So you must also forgive. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. The Apostle Paul says, we've got a new life. We've got a new start. We're new creations. So put on your new clothes. In fact, he said, verse 9, strip off the old. In baptism, often they would, in the early church, they would actually take their old clothes off and then be given a white garment. to be baptized down into the water and risen up. Perhaps he's thinking of that image. Perhaps some of these believers would have done that. Think of the Manchester City footballer. She was playing for them and now she plays for Liverpool. She's got to put the new clothes on. New identity. Bought from one team to another. Think of the NatWest bank manager. She'd got to the top and now she's jumped teams to Halifax. She's got to change clothes from the NatWest outfit, the badge, same name, but the new colours. New clothes, put them on. It's active, isn't it? But it's in the power of the resurrected, risen Christ. Again, what would it mean for us to clothe ourselves with these things in our church, in your echo group, in your home group, in your home? What would it mean to be clothed with these things? And of course, over it all, says the Apostle Paul, put on love. Verse 14. Why? Well, because of the King of Love. The one whose love is stronger than death. The one whose love has triumphed over the grave for you and for I. The one whose love we have received by the Holy Spirit. And so we're to live a life of love, united with Christ, buried with him, died with him, raised with him. So what does it mean for us to be raised with Christ? It's happened in the past. We await our resurrected bodies, but it's happened. What does it mean? Do you see how beautiful and broad and big and deep and wide and rich this union is? Our lives are hidden with Christ in God. And so we're to seek the things above. We're to strive and continue to fight to put to death what is earthly in us. And we're to put on those new clothes in the likeness of Christ. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for such a salvation. Help us to grasp the heights and depths, the breadth, the length, that we truly have died with you and have risen to new life in Christ. Reassure us where we need reassurance. Strengthen us where we need strengthening. And enable us to live this new life, not in our own strength, but in the strength of the risen Christ, the one who died for us, rose again, and is ascended in heaven. And in his name we pray. Amen.